We're going to look at this tonight, 1 and verse 12. 1 and verse 12, we're going to go 1 Timothy 1 and 12. But to begin with, I'm going to ask you some questions. All right. What's the imperfect tense mean in Greek? What's the imperfect tense mean? Who knows? Cindy, you know what that one is, imperfect tense?
Not yet done.
Huh?
Not yet.
It's continuous action. All right. How about perfect tense?
Completed
action. All right. How about aorist tense? First aorist. Okay. Knife blade peculiar action. First aorist. Second aorist. Okay. It's not as pointed and punctiliar, but it is a little more durative, linear in action. But it is punctiliar in action. All right. How many cases do we have in Greek?
Eight.
How many can name them? Let's go with me. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, vocative. What is the vocative? The case of address. Sharon, Cindy. That's in the vocative, okay? Now, if you were the subject of this, if you were the one acting in the sentence, you would be in the nominative case. Okay, and what is the case of possession? That's the genitive case. We have that in Greek, and we have it in Hebrew also. The Lord of us, or our Lord. Okay, I'm from Bakersfield. That would be what? I am from Bakersfield. From. That's in the oblative. That's the case of origin. Okay. All right. Now, two Greek vowels also make a what? A diphthong. That's a two sounds or two vowels that make one sound. All right. I guess I could have read them to you real quick. I don't do this every time. Find them. And I may not. Doesn't seem to be able to. I usually had them dog-eared over, but I don't find them today. Yep. I won't try to do them by memory, which I could, but it would be out of order. Epsilon, that's U, like feud. All right. Epsilon, iota is like A and ace, or aisle. Okay. Some of those. Omicron, Ypsilon is like U in group. That's where it sounds like a U sound. In German, you have these little two dips over a U, and that means what kind of sound, Cindy?
Umlaut.
What?
Umlaut.
Okay. And that's a I sound, isn't it? Yeah. All right. We see this. Different things. All right. 1 in verse 12. Let's go look at Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, written by the Apostle Paul, written to Timothy. And what does Timothy's name mean? Timothy? Okay, it comes from Tameo and Theos, doesn't it? Honorable to God. Timotheus means honorable to God. Kyrene, echo, toll, in dina mosante. Me Christo, Jesu, to. Curio, hemon, hote, piston, me, ha, yi, sato. Theminos, ace, diaconia. Now, this word charis, or charin here, in this form, it means grace, thanks, gift, all of these different things. It means It is a favor, unmerited favor, a gift to you that you don't deserve. Somebody come up to you, Fernando, and just gave you $10,000, would that make you smile? Well, when the Lord gives us grace and even the ability to believe in Him, that's a gift, and gives us repentance, All of this is a gift too. It's worth more than $10,000 or $100 million. That's beautiful. The gift of salvation lasts how long? Forever. How do you say forever in Hebrew? Olam. Olam. That means a long duration of time. But there's also the word od. Od. Ayin and delt. Dalit. Which means onward and onward and onward and onward. It's like eistonion, tonion in Greek. Thanks I have. For first person singular, present indicative active. And it comes from echo, of course. That is the root of it. To en dynamosante. Now let's look at that word. Having been empowered. It's first aorist. Participle active. It's dative, singular, masculine. And to the one, having been empowered. To the one. That's dative, two or four. All right. Locative, instrumental, and dative. This is a dative case. They're all spelled the same in Greek. We're dressed up in power. How many of you got dressed to come here tonight? Not running around here naked tonight. So we got dressed. We tied on power. This means to try to tie on the power. Having been dressed up in the power and empowered me in Christ Jesus. Me in Christ Jesus. Look at that word Christo and Asu. Now Christo, that is a term that comes from Creole. What is the Hebrew equivalent of Christo? Or Creole? HaMashiach. That's the Messiah, or the Anointed One. In Christ. Now, what case is that in? That's the locative, singular, masculine. Locative case. Locative, singular, masculine. In Christ Jesus. Christ means the Anointed One. And Jesus means what? It actually, we should really not say Jesus, but what? What is Jesus' name? Not Jesus, but what? Joshua, or Yahshua. All right. And what does Yahshua mean? Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. Isn't that a name fitting for him? Yahshua, Jehovah saves. To the Lord, in Christ Jesus, to the Lord of us. Tol kiryu. What would be the equivalent of that in Hebrew? What would it be? Et. That's a sign of the direct object, actually. Et, or to. To the Lord. To the Lord. It would be Adonai. Adonai or Jehovah. To the Lord of us. Now, the Lord belonging to us and we're belonging to Him. That's in the genitive case, okay? Because faithful, pistone, faithful me He has considered. That hegesato. See the rough breather above that? So you got a rough breather, so you go hegesato. And it comes from heg. Eomai. He considered, he judged, he deemed me for himself. Paul had a little different conversion than we do, didn't he? What happened to him? He was on his way to hell. He was born of Satan, basically, from what he said. He said, I was aborted. I was an abortion. And God grabbed him out and put him in his place of service. But he deemed him that way. And Paul also is going to tell us a little bit later on that he was doing everything he was doing ignorantly. Many of the Pharisees did not do what they were doing ignorantly, but the Apostle Paul did for some reason. He did not have all the information about Jesus. Because faithful he deemed or considered me for himself, having placed Theminos. Now, tell me a little bit about this having placed there. Cindy, can you tell me about that? Can you tell me about this participle?
It's second aorist.
Nominative singular masculine, second aorist, middle, and its participle. Participle is one of them continuing things, huh? Having placed me, and of course it's second aorist, so there's a durative linear period of this punctiliar action in there, if that's somewhat confusing. Having placed me, ace diakonion. Ace diakonion. What is a diakonion? Sharon, what's a diakonion?
A servant, a deacon.
It is a servant. This is what we call a deacon. Now, Apostle Paul was not a deacon, and yet he deaconed, didn't he? What is a deacon? What does the word deacon mean? How many of you remember that when I told you that? What?
To stir up dust.
To stir up dust. All right. It's somebody that's out doing something. It's a church member that's actually doing something for the Lord, kicking up dust. When I worked out in the oil fields, now you work out in the oil fields, don't you, Hernando? All right, you go out there, and Fernando can tell you this. It's pretty hot out there, isn't it? And there's not much shade anyplace. You get out there in the oil fields, and you just got a moment to sit down. And then the driller stands up, and he said, hurry up and stand up and stir up a little dust. Here comes the tool pusher. Look like you're doing something. You've been doing something until now, but when that guy comes there, you better be moving on. You're working like you're about to kill yourself. Stirring up a little dust. Stirring up dust. That's what it means, to stir up dust. Diakonia. Stir up dust for the Lord. Do something. The deacons in this church deacon, don't they? They work in the kitchen. They wash dishes. Some of them do janitor work. They come out and clean up the yards. They do all kinds of stuff. My cousin, Fred Buss, died here at this church on this property, deaconing. He was out here doing some painting, I think, at that time. And he fell over with a heart attack and died. He was doing exactly what he wanted to do, and I'm sure he wouldn't have died, wanted to die any place else but here, doing the Lord's work. And then to proteron. Honta. Blasphemon. Kai. Dioctane. Kai. Hebristain. Allah. Eleathen. Hote. Agnon. Apoiesa. En apistia. Let's look at this now. The one, to proteron. The one. Word one there, that's a practical substantive, and it takes the place because it's understood. The, formerly. Now, we don't bring it into English, we don't really, the formerly. We understand that it is the one formerly. And who is the one there that's talking about? The Apostle Paul. The one formerly being. Look at that on top. That comes from Amy. But this here is a present participle active, accusative, singular, masculine. That's a little participle that comes from a to-be verb. The one being, continually being, present, participle, active, that's continuing, and it's accusative, singular, masculine, the lack of, it's declined but conjugated both. This is what we call a marriage of a verb and a noun. The one being a blasphemon, a blasphemer, and dioctane, and a persecutor. Kai hebristain. Contemptible. But I obtained mercy. I obtained grace. I obtained this mercy. Because being ignorant, I acted. Now let's go. I acted in unbelief. Go back up and let's look at these words. The one formerly, proteron, this is the one before this period of time. What did Paul, the apostle do? The apostle Paul, his name was Saul, wasn't it? And Saul means what? One asked for. What is the root of that? Brother Mike, you asked me about this place earlier today. Sheol. Sheol. Saul and Sheol come the same root, and it means one asked for. Israel asked for a king. God was going to give a king to Israel always. But who was that king that he was building up to give to Israel, David. But they were impatient, and they asked for a king, so he gave them one asked for, which was a tall man, a very humble man to begin with, and then he became bad, didn't he? The one being a railer, a blasphemer, a blasphemon, a blasphemer. How did the Apostle Paul blaspheme God? How did he do it? How about it? He what? He was persecuting the church. Okay. What else, Fernando? You know? No. How about it, Sharon?
Well, he must have been saying some pretty nasty things about Jesus.
There is the deal. That's how you blaspheme, when you say pretty nasty things about Jesus. What kind of nasty things was he saying about Jesus, Brother Mike? What do you think the Jews say about Jesus today that he was doing back then? What were some of the things that they said about him?
He's not God.
He is not God. That's blasphemy, isn't it?
And
if you say Jesus is not God, that's blasphemy. Did he say he was God? Yes. Is there any doubt in the Scriptures? For all the Scriptures, to put them all together, did Jesus ever say that he was not God? Ever? Did he ever say that he was just a messenger? Never. Did he say there's a one coming after me? No.
I'm coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back. Who's the one coming after Jesus? Impersonating Jesus? The Antichrist. Okay? Now, if a religion says that Jesus isn't God, that is blasphemy of it. All right. Who are some of those religions? Who are they? Jehovah's Witnesses, for one. Okay. The Mormons. He is God to them, but he's not the God. Not this. That's not Jehovah. This person. How about the Worldwide Church of God? Who'd that come from? Herbert W. Armstrong. Okay. What do they say about Jesus? He is not God. Okay. How about the Muslims? What did Muhammad say about Jesus? He is just a prophet. He is not. He should never be worshipped. He's just a prophet. And the prophet was pointing to me. But Jesus said that the one to come after him would be an Antichrist. Muhammad said that Jesus was born of a virgin, but that he only did powers by the power of God, and that he never made himself equal with God, or even a God, or whatever. The Jehovah's Witness will say he was a lesser God. He was a created God by the great God, the Father. Which is what? Blasphemy. One of the first things, one of the tenets of the Muslim world, the Mohammedans, or whatever you want to call them, Tenesis, there is no God but Allah, and he has no equal, nor he has any companions. He has no companion. And the reason why they say he has no companion, because Jesus is not God. Now, is that blasphemy or is it not? That is blasphemy. And so, all of these groups are blaspheming. The Unitarian Universalists. Yeah. All of these, it's all making Jesus less than God. Jesus is the creator that created the heavens and the earth. He is the one that spoke the worlds into existence, as we know it today. A railer, a blasphemer. Making fun of God or making God less. Reviling God. Jesus said before Abraham, I was. He said, this is my word. Now, whose word is it? What word? The word of God. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Genesis 3:15 is what? The first promise of the Messiah in the Bible. That God would become flesh of a seed of a woman, and that he would redeem everything back to himself. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the whole world, the whole cosmos, he's going to redeem it all back, and all of those that believe in him too. All right. going a little bit further. I was a blasphemer. A blasphemer, calumny. Contemptuous reviling. And dioctane. Dioctane comes from dioko. And dioctane means to run down. To run down. I had a little brother, little stepbrother one time. And this guy had energy of the Energizer Bunny, except like 400 of them. He could run rabbits down. Really run them down until they had to stop. They couldn't go any further. He'd go and he ran roadrunners down. He said it was real easy to run a roadrunner down. They ran out of gas real fast. They could go for a while, but he'd run them until he caught them. That's what it means. It means to set your sights on something and don't turn loose of it. What are some of the things that are taught to hunt? To chase animals. Birds. Falcons. And they'll get on a trail and they will go after them, won't they? And they'll go down and catch them. And then bring it back to their master. What about dogs? They're bloodhounds that get the scent of people and they chase them until they catch them. And there's coon dogs and bear dogs and lion dogs, and they get the scent of this animal and they chase it until they catch it or run it up a tree. That's this word right here. This is what this word means. It means to be hot in hot pursuit. To be in hot pursuit. To run down violently. To be on a track. I ran down violently. He ran Jesus down and Jesus' children. That's what he was running down. And Kai, a little conjunction. And he breastane. What does he breastane mean? By the way, the word diokte, you can look it up on page 104 in that analytical Greek lexicon. And he breastane is on page 412. That means insolent. It means contemptible. It means wantonness. Outrage. To be overbearing. How tall was Paul? How? Not 5 feet tall. But he was, you know, sometimes they say the little people try to keep being big. They do everything in the world to prove they're big. Okay? This is what the Apostle Paul did. 2 Samuel 10 and 4 refers to somebody that runs, somebody that's contemptible, somebody that's wantonness, somebody that rails. But, strong adversative conjunction, I was caused to obtain mercy. And that comes from helio. Chesed in Greek, in Hebrew, chesed. It means merciful. I obtained mercy. First person singular, first aorist, indicative passive. How quick does it take God, how long does it take God to save you? Huh? Instantaneously, knife blade. For in grace ye are having been saved. Through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I obtain mercy. I obtain grace. I obtain the gift of forgiveness. Because, he says here, because, and it's a little conjunction, or casual particle there on page 294 if you want to write that down. Being ignorant, not knowing, agnoon. Nominative singular, masculine, present participle, active voice. I kept on being ignorant. We have people today that says they're agnostics. They say an agnostic, when they say that there is no way that you can know there's a God, that is blasphemy. Is it not? When you look at God's creation and say it just happened, it just evolved into being, is that blasphemy? It's blasphemy. All of those things are blasphemy. And then it says, epoiesa, and I acted. And what English word comes from that word poio? What is English? You remember that one, Cindy? What English word comes from this word poio?
Chicken.
Huh? That's Spanish. Pollo. That's Espanol. The word poem. Poem. What do you do with a poem? You make words rhyme. Our word poem comes from this word. I acted. I acted in, and what case is this in? In apistia. In apistia. What case is this in? How do you know? What about that one? This is in what case? What? Locative. Case of location. He remained in unbelief. In unbelief. In location. Locative. In unbelief. That means to not believe. It comes from the alpha negative of all, which means not. And pistio means to believe, or pistis or pistio. Not to believe. So that's locative singular. Paul the Apostle was different than many of the other Pharisees because they did it knowingly, didn't they? I read a letter from Caiaphas to the Sanhedrin here a while back in one of my classes, I don't know when. Made all kinds of excuses why he did what he did. All kinds of excuses. He had to stop this man. 1:14. If I can get this frog out of my throat. Had that sinus infection, ear infection forever. Still bother me. Hyperpleonasin. Can you? Hyperpleonasin. Day. That's a lot easier, isn't it? How about hey, kares? Two. Kyriou. Himon, meta pistios, kai agapes, teis, and Christo esu. Now, as we look at these, I want you to think what case is this in and what kind of action the verbs are. Now we have the word hyper in this word hyper. When you have hyperglycemia or you're hyperactive, what does that mean? A lot. Much. Okay? So this means much, doesn't it? Because we have the word hyper. And then we have the word pleonasin at the end of it. And it comes from hyper and pleonoxa. Pleonoxa. It means he, third person singular, first aorist indicative active, he super abundantly and exceedingly and overflowingly. That's what it means. Abounded. Abundantly. He super abounded overflowingly, exceedingly. Moreover, the grace, the exceeding grace of God. The more than take a 10-gallon bucket and put it out here in our yard and put 100 gallons of water in it. That's what it means. It's something what happens when you try to put it flows over. Over, over, over. That's how much grace this is talking about. Superabundant grace. The grace. Hey, Caris. Tell me about Hey, Caris. What kind of definite article has got in front of it? Hey. What?
Feminine.
Tell me what case it's in. Cindy? Nominative, singular, feminine. The grace. Nominative, singular. The grace overabounded. Is over exceedingly abounded. Overflowing. The grace of God overflows. That means you don't have to work your way into heaven after you get saved. When I'm driving around, I listen to radio programs, usually on 1410 or whatever, I guess that's it. That's where Roger and Phil are on that, But there's a lot of heretics on there also. I mean some real heretics. Super deluxe heretics. I was listening to one the other day, and they said, don't you let these preachers tell you that you're saved by grace. Don't do that, because it's not a fact. You're not saved by grace. You're only saved at the moment, and you're forgiven right then. But from then on, you have got to live without sin. Now, I know the man's lying. He said it is possible to do that, to live without sin. How about it, Cindy? You think he's lying? How about it, Brother Mike?
Well, if you die immediately, maybe.
How fast you'd have to die after you got saved. Right there, as you were saying, Lord, forgive me, boom. Yeah. He just kept, he was preached for 45 minutes telling you that you're not saved by grace. That once you're saved, you have to live a sinless life. And I went to church with people like this a long time ago. Right here is talking about superabundant grace of God. It doesn't mean that you have a license to go out and sin. No. You do that, you're going to get a spanking. How many of you ever got a spanking? I got beatings. And I got beatings. That outlaw stepdaddy of mine, old Dale, he worked me over, boy. I mean, it's like beat me half to death. For nothing. I don't know whether he ever whipped me for doing anything. That I needed whipping, he just whipped me when he got mad at me and he needed somebody to beat on, you know. My sister got me in trouble a few times and got me some beating. I didn't do that then. I didn't do it then. My sister's a little on the lazy side. We were up in Nevada on this ranch, and he got this job of managing this ranch up there, and guess who was doing all the work? You're looking at him. Well, one day out there, we had to go take and pick up irrigation pipe on 20 acres of alfalfa fields. Well, she didn't want to do it, and I could carry it by myself, but he told us to go get them together because we could do it faster. So I was doing that, so she fell down, was bawling going on. He hit me, and boy, I got a beating. So and I got to work and do all the rest of it by myself with all this stripes all over me. You know, God's not like that. If you get a whipping from God, you earned it. You did. You do get a whipping from God, you earned it. And there's nobody, and you can't say the devil made me do it, or that woman you gave me, or anything else. We got it because we got it. Is that right, Fernando?
Right.
Yeah, we get a whipping, we get it because we deserve it. And you, what are you supposed to do when you get a whipping from the Lord? Say thank you. It really makes me happy because I know I'm yours. Isn't that nice? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the whipping. I never said thank you to my stepdad. My grandmother didn't whoop me. But I got plenty of whoopings by him. And I never said thank you, and I don't remember ever him giving me a whooping that I really deserved. You will never get a whooping from God that you didn't deserve. He will never whoop you. Never. The grace is superabundant. The grace of whose? Whose grace? Tu Kyrios. Tu Kyrios. Or what does that mean? The grace what? It's a case of what? Genitive, singular, masculine. It's a case of possession. It belongs. Grace belongs to the Lord, and He shares it with us. He gives it to us. He just pours it all over us. When I was going to church when I was a little kid, it used to scare me to death. It was pretty emotional, people. But people would get up. There was hardly any preaching at all. They didn't preach. Just maybe 5 minutes and then it'd go off into something else. But people would get up and do testimonies all the time, and they'd get up there and they'd talk. I haven't sinned for 20 years. I remember one woman coming up. I sinned last Sunday and tears were flowing down herself. I broke the Sabbath. Well, there's a problem breaking the Sabbath on Sunday, isn't there? Why? Yeah. Sabbath is not Sunday. But this woman had decided to sew a dress and run a needle through her finger. The Lord got me because I sinned. Well, she had her finger in the sewing machine is what she did. The Lord didn't do that. When people say they haven't sinned for 20 years, they're lying right then. So they're lying. They're sinning right then. The Lord belonging to us. The grace come from the Lord, but the Lord belongs to what? To us. Jesus belongs to you, Brother Mike. And you belong to Him. Isn't that nice? Penny, you belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to you. You like that, Fernando?
Yeah.
The Lord of us with faith. With faith. Now, we got a little preposition with faith there. With faith. That's genitive singular. It's kind of like an instrumental, but it's genitive. All right? Genitive singular and with or in or of belonging to love of the in Christ. Of the one in Christ. Jesus. In Christo is what case? Locative. Locative, singular, masculine. 115 now. 115. Pistos, hologos, kai, passes, apodexis, axios, hote, Christos, Jesus, Elthane, Ace, Ton, Cosmon, Hamartolus, Sose, Hon, Protos, Amy, Ego. Faithful the word. Faithful is the word. Faithful is the word. Well, Jesus is faithful and his word is faithful, both in it. Jesus is never going to drop you. Like a hot balloon. You know, a lot of people, you have friends when you have a lot of money. You've heard of that. With money buys friends. You know, that's all. You got lots of wealth and things. People want to be your friend. Jesus is our friend whether we're destitute or wealthy or whatever. Faithful is the word. And all acceptance worthy. And all acceptance work. Cindy, do you have your Amplified Bible there? Got it there? You want to read these last few verses for me in Amplified where we come up to here at number 14? You think you can do that? One, 12 through 14. And beginning with number 15.
I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. Though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and was shamefully and outrageously and aggressively insulting to him, nevertheless I obtained mercy because I acted out of ignorance in unbelief. And the grace, unmerited favor, and blessing of our Lord actually flowed out of superabundantly and beyond measure for me, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus.
All right. Accompanied by faith and love, with faith and love. What are the three gifts remaining today? Faith, hope, and love, aren't they? Faith, hope, and love. So Paul had those back then. He had other gifts too. He was an apostle, wasn't he? Was one of the gifts in the church apostle? Yes. But what did he say was very important? Faith and love. Faith and love. And then faithful to the word and all acceptance. Welcoming. Hypodoxes. That says from glory. From glory. Worthy. Axios. What about this word worthy? What kind of a word is that? Do you remember Penelope, you remember about that word? Oxios. How about it, Fernando? You remember that one? How about it, Sharon? Mike? Cindy, you remember what this word oxios mean? Many, many tekel eupharson. What did I just say? I said that in Chaldee, didn't I? Many, many tekel eupharson. What did that mean? You remember that one, Cindy? Weighed and weighed and found wanting. They used to take a king and they would put a scale out there. All right? And they would put it would be here like on a pivot point and here was a scale, and you would put a known factor here, and you would put something over here. Now, they used these scales wherever they sold things. So they would put a 1 pound weight here, or a 12 ounce weight here, or a 50 pound weight, and they'd put it up here, and when it would go even, then it would weigh down the scales. That's what oxios means, to weigh down the scales. Oxios means to weigh down the scales. And what they said there, what Daniel said to the king, you don't weigh down the scales. You're light. You are light. You're a lightweight. You don't weigh enough. You don't weigh enough. You know, Muhammad had a lot of people read the Bible to him. You know, most of them were, he had one wife that was a Coptic, married a Copt. And they told him these stories. Well, he'd pick out whatever he wanted out of this. And he put it. And he said, at one time, the angel Gabriel appeared to them, and they tore his stomach open, and they took his heart out. And they weighed it on a scale, and it was heavier than any man. He weighed 100 men compared to him, and he was heavier. He weighed 1,000, and he was heavier. He weighed 1,000,000, and he was heavier. He weighed everybody in the universe, and it weighed down the scales. He was heavier than all of those. The heaviest, the most worthy. Most worthy one. Gabriel brought an animal to him. This animal was built like a donkey or a mule, and it had the head of a man on it. Barak is what it was. There was 1,000,000 of them. All the prophets rode these things. And they brought this donkey up to him. And the donkey was kicking around when Muhammad tried to get him. This is his night vision. You know, this is where he went from Jerusalem. First of all, he carried him from Mecca in this house where he was asleep. They took him to Jerusalem, and then he met the other prophets, and God said, teach him how to pray. He taught Jesus how to pray and Adam how to pray and all these, because he was the best prayer, the best worshiper. Then he take him up to the seven heavens. But when he was going to get on this donkey, this Baruch, it shied and jumped around. And Gabriel said to him, no one ever weighed more than Muhammad. He's the greatest of all. Do not do that. And the donkey cried and shivered and sweated all over, or whatever it was, this hybrid, because he was so heavy. He was so worthy, that word. All right. This word right here. Worthy. Oxios. To weigh down the scale. This has been used to mean that forever. In the Islamic theology, right here in Jerusalem over there, right out in front of that, in front of Jerusalem, if I can see it, there is a a deal like this, there in front of it, with steps going up to the mosque. And they say that one of these days that God is going to come and he's going to put this great fulcrum over here, and they're going to put a feather on one side, the feather of righteousness, and they weigh your heart on the other side. And if it weighs down the scale, you get to go to paradise. If it doesn't, you get to go suffer for a while. Or maybe, if you don't believe in Muhammad and Allah is with no companion, you get to go to hell forever. And the great magnification of what hell is. It all means to weigh down the scale. This whole idea is in many false religious systems. Now, who weighs down the scale? How do you get to heaven, Fernando? How do you get to heaven? By the merits of who? Jesus Christ. Not one thing you ever did is going to get you to heaven. Nothing. We all start out here condemned by the blood of Adam that's in us. And that's what the infection of sin is. And many churches believe that when you're baptized, you wash away the original sin, and then from then on your own. Okay, but we're not on our own, are we? Never are we on our own. Salvation is by what? Grace. Who weighs down the scales? It's not you. It's Jesus. Acceptable and worthy to weigh down the scales. Page 34, by the way, in that little analytical Greek lexicon. Equal valuable estimate. Because Christos Jesus, Christos. Who weighs down the scales? Who makes us worthy? Jesus. Christos. Now, it's got an Omicron Sigma on it in that word Christos. Now, what case is that in? Miss Christos. It's like having ho in front of it. That's nominative, singular, masculine. Christo Jesus. Because Jesus. He came. Elthane. He came. He came from glory. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active, ace, tone, cosmone. Many religions say that Jesus is a prophet of God, only a prophet of God. Paul said that he is God. In the next few verses, we're going to see it magnified many times over. Unto the world, sinners to save. How do you get to heaven? Jesus came in the world to save sinners. What does the word harmartolos mean? What does it mean? Doesn't mean to miss the mark, does it? It means to go out of bounds. We've all gone astray, haven't we? All to our own way. To save of whom? Protos, first, ego eimi, I am. I am the first of the sinners. I am the worst sinner. And 1:16 now. Ola dia tuto. El lei thein. Hina. Anna emoi. Proto. Endex ete. Christos, Jesus, tain ha pason, macrothemion, pros hypotiposim, ton melonton, pisuane, ep auto, ace zoane aeonion. But because of this, I obtained mercy. I obtained grace, I obtained mercy. In order that in me first, he might point out Christ Jesus. He is going to do this. Jesus, first of all, showed that I am the way. What happened in the book of Acts, according to the Apostle Paul? He was on the way to Damascus to kill sinners, wasn't he? Damascus was a great Christian center, by the way. It was a great Christian center for hundreds of years. Decapolis was a great Christian center. Decapolis means what? Decapolis. 10 cities. Who went there and started evangelizing? Who was the guy? Who was the missionary that went to? Who did Jesus send to Decapolis? Who was the guy that did it? Who was the one? The Gadarene demoniac. Wouldn't that make a real good missionary? Evidently. Because all of those cities had churches in them. I've seen them. They go way back to that period of time. That was a very strong area, and that's in Jordan. And then in Damascus, Syria. Syria was a Christian country for many, many years until the Muslims took it over. Damascus was a Christian center. Probably the first time Muhammad ever heard the gospel, he heard it in Damascus, Syria. Where was Paul the Apostle saved and baptized? On the road to Damascus, he was baptized in Damascus, wasn't he? All right. Was there a church there in Damascus? Absolutely. I've been in that church, by the way, people. I've been in that church that where the Apostle Paul was a member when he was saved. Right there. And me, the first, that he might point out Christ, Jesus. The one that's all long-suffering, long-minded. Well, I'm glad the Lord is patient with me. How about you? How patient does the Lord have to be for us? And how long-suffering and how patient, long-minded. pros hipo ti posen. Hipo ti posen. Now, that means a sketch. This hipo ti posen, it comes from hipo and then tipo. To understrike. A typewriter. How many of you typed on a real typewriter? My son was talking to me the other day on the telephone, and I was typing on my computer. I learned to type on real manual typewriter. I hit the keys awfully hard. Real hard. Because back then, it had it was like a lever that you pushed real hard and went over and it struck. And underneath the strike, there was a ribbon, and it made an imprint on the paper just like what hit it. Okay? They had to keep those keys clean and all this stuff, you know. This type had to be clean, or else it would make a false type on there. So you had to brush it with a toothbrush or whatever, you know, and clean it and keep it clean. This is antique, long time. Stone Age technology, but that's what he's talking about here. All right? A sketch. A type is a sketch. In Latin, it's picta or pictura, all right? Picta or pictura, which we get our word what from? Picture, all right? Picture. Exact image, all right? The exact image. Jesus is a morphe. Morphe in Greek, morphe. Mu, omicron, rho, theta, or a phi, that is, an eta. And the Latin of that is forma. Forma, which we use our word, what comes from that? Form. Okay? And he is the exact icon. Icon. What does icon mean? Image. Icon. Image. He is the exact schema of God. These are all different words that describe him. Schema means what? The Latin is figura. Figura. The Latin is figura. And what is that? Schema figura. Brother Mike, do you ever read the instructions when you put something together? Tell me the truth now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now. All right. Now, ladies, women read instructions before they put something together. Men say, I know how to do this. This word schema means schematic. It's blueprint. He is exact blueprint of God. Genesis 1:26 tells us the exact blueprint schema of mankind. God made man in his what? Shadow casting likeness. What else? His blood flowing likeness, and in his last, the triune, in his sovereign likeness, the Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, the sovereign God. We all are made in His image. Therefore, we have a free will, don't we? Now, don't go too far with that, but we have one. We couldn't be saved unless the Lord called us. You're not going to do anything without the calling of God and without the grace applied of God and the gift of believing, which comes from God. Okay? But we do have volition. Period. That's one of the ways that man created God in His image. Because of this I obtained mercy, in order that in me first he might point out Christ Jesus to the all long-suffering, the exact, what? Sketch. The ones about being to believe upon him unto life eternal. How do you get eternal life? By believing. Where does the belief come from? From God. It's a gift. Believing, belief, faith is a gift. Everything comes from God. Now, to believe that you're working your way to heaven, what is that? Blasphemy. To make some other way of salvation, it is blasphemy, because God created. This was God's eternal purpose, His plan of the ages. There are a lot of people wandered up and come up. The Lord founded one church, called it out, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and the world has founded hundreds. All kinds. 1:17. Let's look at this quickly. To de basile. Ton eonion. Atharto. Aorato. Mono. Theo. Teme. Kai. Doxa. Ace. Tus aeonas. Tonionon. Amen. Moreover, to the King of the ages. Now, if you go back to Isaiah 57 and verse 15 and Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it's very important. This verse is going to take a lot of time. We're going to have to go back to it again. But I want you to look at some of it. Let's go to Isaiah 9 and 6. First of all, Isaiah 9 and 6. Go to the book of Isaiah 9 and verse 6. If somebody, does someone have that? Isaiah 9 and 6. And as you go over there, Sharon, do you have that?
I don't know that I got
it. Have you got that back there? Maybe? Cindy? Penelope? Isaiah, you don't have Isaiah in that book. Okay. Isaiah 9, do you want to come up here, Penny? Isaiah 9 and 6. This is very beautiful. This is talking about Jesus here, by the way. It's talking about Jesus. Isaiah 9 and 6.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace.
All right. Who's this talking about? Wasn't this part of the doxology of Mary? A child shall be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Mighty God. And it says, Abba, Ad. The God inhabiting eternity. The God of eternity. The God that created eternity. The God that created eternity. Okay? Eternal Father or the Father of eternity. That's the word Ad there. Abba and Ad. Prince of Peace. How is the only way you're going to have peace in this world? By having Jesus Christ in your heart. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. Who has got that one? 57, 15. You want to do that one, Cindy? 57, 15.
For thus says the high and lofty one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent bruised with sorrow for sin.
Okay. The God who inhabits eternity. Let's just look at that for a moment. Un momentum. Okay? Let's look at that one for just a moment. Look over there, eternity and eternity. Okay? Now, time that we live in is just a marked out piece of eternity. Okay? Here is all eternity, and here is this time that mankind has lived in. Now, God lives up here, inhabiting eternity and encompassing all of these things. And He's able, He inhabits eternity. And He's able to look down and see before we were born. He can look back here before Adam's time. He can look back and look in when Satan or Hillel rebelled. He can look at every period of time here, and He can make plans, can He? Thorough plan. How would you be able to look at the stock market or something like that? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Isaiah 9 and 6 and 57, 15. Now let's go to the book of Apocalypse to Jesus Christus. The book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation chapter 19, and let's start over there with about number 11, Hina. And I saw heaven open up, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called what? Faithful and true. Does this sound like what we just read in Isaiah? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Who is the king of the universe? Who is the king of eternity? It's Jesus. To make Jesus less than that is blasphemy. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. A diadem is a crown, but it streamers off a crown, and a diadem represents different countries and conquest. He's got a Stephanos, a crown in him, but he's got these diadems, these streamers off of everything that he's conquered. What did Jesus conquer? What? Death. What else? Sin. The devil. Temptation. Everything you see in the world. The world is going according to God's permissive will, not His direct will. One of these days He's going to take it back into His control. And it talks about that here. Many diadems, and it is written upon Him, which a name knows, which no one knows except Himself, and He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And His name is called what? Hologos, Tuthiu. The Word. The Jehovah. The word there is a Hebraism from Hadavar, which is the substitute for the name Jehovah, which the Jews say Adonai now. Now let's go on. We're going to see some more about this Adonai business. And the armies were with him, were clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Luka, hippos, white horses. And from his mouth is a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads down the winepress of the fierce wrath of God Almighty. El Shaddai. This book is full of Hebraisms. As a matter of fact, many Greek scholars, when they translate the book of Revelation, said there's too many grammatical errors in here. The reason why there's so many grammatical errors in the book of Revelation, it's written in Greek, but it's written with a Hebrew syntax, with many Hebraisms. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, Adonai HaAdonaim. That's what it is in Hebrew. Adonai HaAdonaim. What is Adonai? Lord HaAdonaim. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And what did we just read in Isaiah 9 and 6 and Isaiah 57 and verse 5? Who is this? Who is this lowly person? Jesus, the King of the universe, the God who inhabits eternity. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that quoted, if you look on page 11 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it tells you about this word. You might find a pen that writes. Adonai. Adonai. That means Lord of the Lords. And then it's Ha. Adonaiim. Plural is... Yim is plural, isn't it? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who our Savior is. He is God. He is the Creator. Brag on Jesus. See, that's what you do. If you can't say anything else, brag on Jesus, because He's our Savior. Over here on page 11, it says, in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, this is one. See, there it is. See, that's it. Okay? A lot of scribbling and hand scratch on top of it, as you can see. But I'm going to show this to the camera. Adonai, that's a beautiful word. This separates the men from the boys and the wannabe gods from the God. I didn't move it, did I? Okay. From the God of the Bible. The wannabe gods. The wannabe prophets from the God of the Bible. Adonai means Master, Lord of Lords. Adonai Ha'adonai. Deuteronomy 10:17. Psalm 136.3. Deuteronomy 10:17. Let's go there. What does Deuteronomy mean, by the way? What? Okay, the second law. Why did they need the second law?
New generation.
Because there was a new generation. Everybody that got the first law was already done, dead and gone, and in the grave. Deuteronomy 10:17. Deuteronomy 10 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords." Adonai Ha'adonaim. Who is this? The Lord your God. What does it say over there in the book of Revelation that we're talking about? Who is Jesus? Adonai Ha'adonaim. He is the Lord our God. He is the God of gods. He's not a part God. He's not little bit God. He's not a prophet of God, but He is the God of heaven, the Creator and the Procurer of our salvation. And if you don't have Him as that, you don't have salvation. God of God and Lord of the Lord of Lords, the Great Almighty, the Awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. Now let's go to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Same guy. Psalm 136. Way over yonder. Psalm 136 and verse 3. Give thanks to Adonai Ha'adonaim. For His loving kindness is everlasting. We miss so much in translation. Jehovah is called the God, the covenant God. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. All of these religions miss the name Jehovah means He who shall become. Where is that word fulfilled in the New Testament? John 1:14. How do you say that, Cindy? You remember? Kai ho logos sarx agenico. And the word are the Jehovah, the bar, and the word, flesh, He became and dwelt among us. That's the fulfillment of the Jehovah title. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. He is Adonai Ha'adonaim. He is our Savior. And to make Him less than that is blasphemy. What is blasphemy? To make Jesus less than God Almighty. Because that's what He is. He is God Almighty. He is the Lord Jehovah. He is Adonai. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Tisanu. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is all of the Jehovah titles named in the one. Many, many places. John 1:14, John 1:1. He's the God. John 1:1 says, "In beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being inseparable part of the Godhead, because Jehovah kept on being God." That means He's the God that inhabited eternity in Isaiah. Isn't it beautiful? This is our Jesus. God bless you. Go out and do something eternal. Do you have any questions? Huh? Have any questions? No? Who would like to dismiss us in prayer tonight? We can go out and do something eternal. Okay. Go right ahead, Sin.
Father, I just thank You for the teaching. It's just so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. You are so beautiful, Lord. And I just thank You for Your love for us and Your care for us and Your eternal plan for us. In Jesus' holy, holy name.
Amen. I told you that was a good lesson. If I could get it out.